Sin number 64 is closely related. That's وَقُنُوتْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, is to become despondent of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. Subhanallah. So they, in the English version, they switched the other sin. 64. They list displaying of the mercy of Allah. That's fine. I'll mention that, and then I'll mention the one that's in the Arabic version. So I don't know why there's a discrepancy, but the قُنُوتْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and that my mercy encompasses everything. In another place, he says, وَلَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. He gives a direct order. In the same way that you can't drink, in the same way that you can't fornicate, in the same way that you can't murder, you cannot give up on Allah forgiving you. No matter how bad you think you are. Because we see some, and you see people who are ultra, hyper-religious sometimes, quote-unquote, it's on the surface it seems that they're hyper-religious, but this is not deen. You know, there was one person who later on got khilafah. He had so much fear and so much ghalaba that he ended up going to the ER one day, right? I'm the one who took him, so I know he did. And then later on, he wrote to our I mentioned to our sheikh, and he said, this person doesn't understand the rahmah of Allah. That's all he said. He doesn't know Allah. Later on, you figure out what that means. So yes, it's important to be self-critical. And yes, it's important to be introspective. And it's important to be humble and say that, oh, we're nothing. And it's important to understand that Allah is the true doer. But we can't, people make this fatal mistake that, you know, Allah gives us, and we keep on disobeying Him. Eventually they feel so bad, they're like, how could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually forgive me? They analogize on themselves. They say that, you know, I've abused Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that this is the point where, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean, I hold you, exonerate you, right? I exonerate you, Allah, for throwing me in the hellfire because I deserve it. And this is how they see themselves. They see themselves as Jahannami. Right? A person who, for example, has become alim, they've gone so much tasawwuf, so on and so forth, and then they do a slight thing in the deen, they feel so bad about it, they're like, this is it. And I met a kid like that. I met more than one person like this, actually, in my life. People who really are sincere, shaitan uses their sincerity against them and gets them into this kabira sin. And it drives people to think, have suicidal thoughts. Literally. I mean, I sat with one kid who in Trinidad, he was sitting with me, and then he showed me the marks. Right? If he didn't show me the marks, he says that, yeah, sometimes he's trying to be good. You see all these kids walking around in campus, they don't have a beard, they might have a girlfriend, they care less. This guy he was trying to become, I don't know what, he was trying to do so many good things, and he had a full shari beard. He's sitting with me in the masjid, and he says, you know, I keep on failing, sometimes I just want to kill myself. I just want to kill myself. I've met more than one person like that. The reason that they want to kill themselves, they say that I'm such a sinner, Allah doesn't deserve me, let me relieve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from myself. Right? Or they feel so bad, they want to punish themselves. The person who does this is the person who's fallen into this major sin first. قُنُوتْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Because they're thinking Allah is like them. They don't know Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a person whose heart is so vast, who's so forgiving, who's so clement, who's so forbearing, their heart, they're just a good person. And then you love them, right? You would never want to hurt them. And you do something small, and you think that they would be displeased. And then, like say a wife does something small and displeases them, and she says, just leave me to her husband. Just leave me. I don't deserve you. Just divorce me. That angers the husband more. He says, dear, I love you. I'm not going to leave you for such a small thing. And she says, no, just divorce me. That aspect of her wife asking for divorce actually incurs more anger from the husband than if she just said that, realized her thing. She says, I just want to be with you. He says, I don't want to let you go. What are you talking about? But she's thinking from her perspective. In the same way, when we think that, Ya Allah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so forgiving, and then you're telling Allah, oh Allah, you know, I know you're really forgiving, but you can't forgive this. As if we can dictate to Allah who He can forgive and who He can't forgive. As if we can put a limit on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself is saying in the Quran, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, my rahmah encompasses everything. It encompasses everything. And it has been, He had written upon Himself, سَبَقَدْ, that His rahmah has preceded and overcome His wrath. Meaning however much His wrath is, His rahmah is more than that. There are 7 doors to Jahannam, and there's an extra door to Jannah. There's a reason for that. All of these are ishara to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants to be merciful, and He's merciful in a way that no one can understand. It comes in the Sahih and non-Muslim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 100 parts of mercy, of which He sent down between the jinn, mankind, animal, and the insects. Right? One part. By the means of which they are compassionate and merciful to each other. Every animal that even picks up its hoof from trampling its own child is because of a manifestation of this mercy. Every tear that a mother cries in the history of mankind because her child didn't come home is because of one part of this mercy. And by means of which wild animals are kind to their offspring. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept back 99 parts of mercy with which to be merciful to His slaves on the days of resurrection. It was narrated by Umar ibn Khattab that some prisoners were brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there was a woman amongst the prisoners who was searching for her child. She didn't know where her child was. When she found her child, she embraced him and put him to her breast. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you think this woman would throw her child in the fire? They said, Ya Rasulullah, if she's able not to do so, she'll never do it. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah is more merciful to His slave than this woman is to her child. She was seeking the child out. She was worried about the child. She said, where's my baby? Where's my baby? When she found him, she grabbed him. She brought him in. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeking all of us out. He didn't create us to throw us in Jahannam. He created us because He wants to take us in. And when we're lost, Allah's looking for us. He's coming after us. Right? So you really have to run away. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. What is it? His mercy is like the rain. You have to, when it's raining outside, especially when we get these Florida rains, these flash rains, you have to try not to get wet. Even if you want or you don't want, automatically you're going to get wet. And that's the situation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His rahmah. It comes in another narration from Anas bin Malik, radiallahu ta'ala, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سَلَّى اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ يَقُولِ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى in حَدِيثِ قُدْسِ يَا أَبْنَ آدَمْ إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كُنْتَ فِيكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. Then he said, O son of Adam, as long as you make dua to me, وَرَجَوْتَنِي, and you have hope on me, you don't give up on me, I'm never going to give up on you. That's a given. You just don't give up on me. As long as you make dua to me, you have hope on me, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ, I'll forgive you. I'll take your zinas. I'll take your drinking. I'll take your bad nazri. I'll take your ghiba. I'll take your ghafla. I'll take your abuse of me. I'll take your forgetting of me. I'll take of your missing of the hajjah. I'll take your missing. غَفَرْتُ لَكَ, I'll forgive you. عَلَى مَا كَأْنَ فِيكَ, on whatever existed within you, وَلَا أُبَالِي, and I don't even care. It's not like it was hard for me. It's not like I had to push myself to it. وَلَا أُبَالِي, I don't care. I want to forgive you. I want to pick you. يَا ابْنُ آدَمَ لَوْ بَلَغَتْ ذُنُوبَكَ عَنَانَ السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. And even if your sins were to reach anana sama, even to the heavens, and then you ask me for forgiveness. And the ulama write that if not everyone sitting in this masjid, but if all of human beings were together in sin, they could not fall from the earth to the heavens. So what about you? Do you really think you're that bad? You might be that bad, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also that good. And your badness cannot outstrip His goodness. Istaghfartani, and then you make istaghfartum istaghfartani, and then you ask me for forgiveness. Ghafartu laka wa la ubali, I'll forgive you wa la ubali. Ya ibn Adam, innaka law ataytani bi tarab al-ard khataya. If you come to me with an earth full, O son of Adam, you come to, O daughter of Adam, you come to me with an earth full of sin. Thumma laqaytani la tushriku bi shay'a. You come and you meet me, and you don't have any partner for me in your heart. La ataytuka bi qirabiha maghfiratan. I'll bring you an earth full of maghfirah. You bring me an earth full of sin? That's what you bring to the table? No problem. I'm also bringing an earth full. But it's an earth full of maghfirah. So practically, how do we stay away from the sin in our life? The number one thing is that never give up. Never give up. If you failed a million times, never give up. Keep on trying, keep on trying, keep on trying. And when you feel that you can't try anymore, keep on trying. Even if it's the most paltry effort. I'm not telling you to make, you know, a distance run. But just say, Ya Allah, sorry, I'm going to try to be good. Even when you're saying sorry, in the back of your mind, you know that you're going to do the thing that you're saying sorry about again. People make istighfar full well knowing in their mind, I'm going to do this again. Still say sorry and say to yourself, Inshallah, Ya Allah, I'm not going to do it. Lie to yourself because Allah will make your lie true. That's what it means to have tawfiq. And I often tell this to my students that the only day you will ever fail will be the day that you give up. Until you do that, you're a winner in my book, and you're a winner in Allah's book. That's the only day you fail, that you say that I'm just going to stop trying. The second thing is to realize that sometimes we're harder on ourselves, not sometimes, all the time we're harder on ourselves. Well, I should say sometimes, because some people just don't care. Sometimes we're harder on ourselves than Allah is on us. Right? It's like the story of Muhammad Ali Lahori, rahmatullah. When we talked about earlier in the retreat, but he was kathir al-buka, he used to cry so much. So even when after he died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, why did you cry so much? He started crying. Because he said, oh, Allah's going to... This was a wali of Allah. Right? You read his stories about how pious he was. I mean, you're just astonished. We look at him like one of our saints of our time. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, he's scared that Allah's going to punish him even then. And he said, Ya, you know, Muhammad Ali, I've forgiven you and everyone else in the cemetery. The fourth advice I would give is, it's okay, get spoiled by Allah. You know, people do takalluf with others. They feel like, you know, people who have a lot of sharafa, they don't want to take favors from others. They, you know, if someone does something good, they're like, oh, I need to pay them back. I need to do good. They're always doing takalluf. Oh, no, it's okay. No, it's okay. Don't do takalluf with Allah. It's a part of being close to someone. And it's a part of just letting Allah be Allah. Get spoiled, it's okay. I say that we are the spoiled brats of Allah. We're already spoiled, believe me. Whether we realize it or not, just accept it. Accept His ni'mas. Accept His kindness. Accept His favors. Get spoiled. Right? It's like, you know, if a grandparent likes to spoil their grandchildren, you don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to spoil us? He wants to give us the hajjud. He wants to give us zikr. He wants to give us sit. He wants to give us salah. Just get spoiled. It's okay. You make mistakes, then do it again. Right? Make tawbah again and keep on trying. And the reason I say that is if you allow yourself to become spoiled, that is one way by which you can fall in love with Allah. Because you feel that this is, Allah's given me so much. Allah's been so nice to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken me despite of who I am. Despite of what I have brought to the table and still given me so much, I can't help but to love Him. Then you'll feel love in your heart. Then it's not artificial. It's not just words. You have qadr for Allah. You'll have love for Allah. You can do... We'll finish 65 and 66. This is the last one. Then we'll close with this.